This is David Bixenspan with a very special edition of the Loser Leaves Town podcast for November 26th, 2008, Thanksgiving Eve. And for this very special holiday edition, we are joined by two very special guests. The more special guest, of course, is Rob Naylor.
Hey, how's it going?
We are also joined by some guy named CM Punk.
Yay! I agree that Naylor is the more special guest. I get a big kick out of super fan Rob Naylor.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Also, wrestler Robbie Naylor. What is that that you're in now?
I don't even know, man. There's some people that like to put me in fantasy wrestling leagues, but that shit is crazy. Oh, can I cuss? I probably can't cuss on this. That stuff is crazy. I'm going to be clean for the rest of it.
Do we have a no cussing rule? Because TNA does.
I can't swear?
No, Naylor asked me a couple days ago.
I won't swear.
No. I'm fine with it. Naylor was afraid that there would be an issue because TNA has a no-swearing rule.
Yeah, Petey Williams, we couldn't swear, but you're CM Punk, so I don't think it really matters.
Wait, like the TNA office told Petey, like, he can't swear?
Yeah, when I had him on, and I couldn't even swear during the show when he wasn't on, because there's some, if you're on a radio show with someone that swears, you get in trouble by TNA. So, they put the handcuffs on me, man, and I couldn't say anything like I wanted to.
Yeah, but WWE...
So I assume that somebody in the TNA office would actually be listening to podcasts, like they don't have anything better to do. No offense to your podcast, but I would assume that they have more important things to do.
This is Dr. Keith's show, and he's much more important than me, so...
I guess so. So this is a lower level.
Anyway, we are joined by... why don't we just keep all that in? That's
right. So,
making fun of TNA is always good.
Yes, and we're going to talk to CM Punk about his great career, about the birth of his career, about the early days, about all that fun stuff everyone just would love to hear about. And you're at a parade tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm the Grand Marshal in the I think they revised my title. I'm the Sports Grand Marshal now because McDonald's didn't want anybody who was involved in, and I quote, hand-to-hand combat to be their Grand Marshal. So I did the job for Ronald McDonald, and Ronald McDonald is the official Grand Marshal, but they had to create a title to appease me so I wouldn't freak out and punch the clown in the face or something. They, like, literally told me that. They're like, we don't want you to be upset, and they have this impression of wrestlers that I was going to, like, you know, freak out.
Why are clowns always your enemy? From the Insane Clown Posse to Ronald McDonald, man, you can't get a break.
And I got no respect for clowns, except for John Wayne Gacy.
Well, there you go. You got to pick and choose in life, and you've done so.
There's a good PR line.
Were you ever a fake doink for Dale Gagner?
No. But when Dale would run shows with Adnan L. Casey, I have a fond memory of him trying to get me to be Golga. And like this is like, I mean, legit, like over 10 years ago, and I, you know, I'm not, I'm a skinny fat guy now, but back then I was just like a skinny guy, you know, and I
did he have a pillow for you?
Well, yeah, that was the thing. I need a Golga. I advertise Golga. I lose my ass. There's no Golga. People complain. You make a good Golga. And he's physically trying to stuff the pillow, my shirt. Here, hang on. I got to do a set really quick. Just give me like 30 seconds, okay?
Awesome, man.
All right, hang on. Talk amongst yourself.
Gotcha. So yeah, we're going to talk in between the sets. That's the way we'll roll on this show. And Golga was a very fat man, so Punk was going to be Golga on a fitness plan, apparently. As you can tell, he's very much a gym rat right now, pumping out sets. And how about that? The clowns again, Bix, are just trying to bring the man down.
I'm trying to figure out, though, if it would be better or worse if Ronald McDonald was still Willard Scott.
Good lord. I don't know, but I would love to see CM Punk powerbomb Willard Scott into some thumbtacks. That's all I got to say. That would be entertaining.
Some thumbtacks dipped into some Smucker's jam.
Good old Willard. I can't believe he's still alive. That's crazy.
Yeah, how old is he now? I mean, he does the thing about the people who are 100 years old, but he's not 100 years old yet, is he?
No, he's like 92 or something like that. And now that other guy, that chubby African-American, he's going to take his place.
He's not chubby anymore, though. He had the surgery.
Did he, though? That gastric bypass, huh?
Look, that's all great. 74 years old.
Wow, that's crazy. I'd have guessed at least 92.
Hello?
I've been wrong before.
Yeah, hello? We were talking about Willard Scott while you were doing the set.
Sorry.
No problem, man.
Okay, so Adnan Al-Casey's trying to jam a pillow up my shirt, telling me that I have to work twice until they're paying me twice, and trying to get me to be Golga, and I politely declined.
Who would you say is a better thespian, Adnan Al-Casey or Tony Atlas, if you had to pick?
Who would I say is what?
Who is better verbally to speak to, Tony Atlas or Adnan Al-Casey? Who can you understand better?
Oh, I haven't talked to Adnan in a while. I see Tony on a regular basis, so I got to go with Tony.
Nice. Big Tony Atlas from Virginia,
big
I think.
Big Tony Atlas, yeah.
My favorite.
Does he have a cell phone now?
I'm positive he has to. Like, because, you know.
That's right. That's policy now, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Who got a cell phone? So you've had some matches with a lot of guys in your early career. Colt Cabana and Chris Hero were two of my favorites. Who were some of your favorite early opponents that you could tell us about? Aside from those two?
Well, I mean, aside from those two, I mean, I think that's obvious. I remember always being jealous of Cabana, like professional jealousy, nothing like too outlandish. That like in his like fifth or sixth match or something, he got the word King Kong Bundy, and like I was always like just like getting beat up by Pierce and Ace and stuff like that. So I was just like, man, what the fuck?
Yeah,
and I want to say like the first, to me at least, the first name I ever wrestled was Tracy Smothers.
Nice.
And it was like also one of the first times that it was just like, you know, like he was so scatterbrained that he, you know, he was like, hey man, I can't remember anything, so I'm just gonna go out there and just, you know, just listen to me. And I was like, okay. And I was terrified, but like, you know, he went out there and made me look like $1 million and like put me over and everything.
What about Ricky Noga?
Ricky Noga, yeah, I'm trying to remember. I had to have had matches with him. God, sorry, Cabana was trying to tie my shoe.
No, Scotty Goldman was.
Scotty Goldman, right. Trademark. Noga's, I think, holds the distinction between myself and Scotty Goldman of being, like, the most racist ethnic person I've ever met in my entire life.
Uh-oh.
That's what I remember about Ricky Noble. He hated everybody. He hated whites, Mexicans, black, and he was like he's as Asian as they get, you know.
Yeah, he loved the Asians though.
I don't even think he liked himself.
Okay.
Ricky Noble.
Well, I was wondering though, is there any chance that he will be signed by WWE anytime soon? Since you're there, Scotty Goldman's there, Ryan Braddock's there.
Ryan Braddock. Wait, I think Noga should be there before Ryan Braddock, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I like Ryan Braddock.
Somebody's got to.
I heard Brad Bradley and maybe Bad Bradley.
Brad. He's got a lot of nicknames. He's like me. Brad Bacon, Brutal Brad, Brad Bradley.
The Jaden Drago of the Shawn Michaels Wrestling Academy. The Jaden Drago, of Steel Domain was my favorite.
Jaden Drago, wow.
Funk, please clear something up. Last time I talked to Hero, I asked him if Brad Bradley was a narcoleptic. Is that true or false? He said it was false.
I never heard
that. I think it's false. I think when he would have his spells and he would fall asleep in the ring on myself and Cabana, I think it was because he had thyroid problem. So it isn't actually, it can't be diagnosed as narcolepsy. He just had like a severe wacky thyroid.
Gotcha. I do as well, which is why I'm 5'2", but apparently his went the other way.
You got an 8-pack, Naylor.
His went the other way, and he got to be 6'8". But so, do you remember a guy named Jason Cronin?
Yes, he was one of my first tag partners.
Yeah, see, look, I'm doing my homework for this important interview. Do you know what he's up to these days?
I believe I got a random text from Jimmy Jacobs the other day about him losing his first shoot fight.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. Update for everybody, folks.
Yeah, a lot of guys are doing that now. Kid Cash.
Tons.
A very good friend of yours, Kid Cash.
Good pal.
I got a lot of friends in wrestling.
Sure does. One of them being Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. How's Ricky the Dragon Steamboat been?
Ricky's awesome. It's cool. Ricky, every once in a while will always nudge me and be like, "Hey, remember when we worked together in Ring of Honor?" And I'll always laugh because it's like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, you know?
Wow. He loves the wrestler Ronin from PWG, I'm told. But that's a different story for another day. So, Straight Edge Wrestlers, remember a guy named JC North?
Oh, boy.
Yes, I do. Yeah, JC North wasn't Straight Edge, but he tried to claim it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
No, it was a gimmick. He did a team in Wildside. I can't remember what his partner was, but they were like the Leading Edge or something.
Yes.
Yeah, wow, I didn't know it was a gimmick. What a jerk. How about M-Dog 20? He's not a gimmick, is he?
No. He's 100%. I just hung out with M dude in Cleveland recently, and then I saw him when Rancid played Chicago recently. Also, M dude, me and M dude are still tight.
Good to hear.
Speaking of Rancid, how's Lars doing nowadays?
Lars is awesome. Lars, I just sent him a box of CM Punk figures and Christmas ornaments.
Oh, yeah, I saw the Christmas ornaments. That's, I think, my favorite piece of CM Punk merchandise now. By the way, everyone, go to WWEshop.com for all of your CM Punk merchandise needs.
Right.
I like the shirt with the fists. That's my favorite one.
Thank you.
There you go. I imagine you had a hand in that. No pun intended, so that's good.
Yeah, I screened Rob Naylor. I gave him all the shirt designs, and I said, "What do you think of this?"
There you go. Nice. So other merchandise of yours, do you have, like, how many wrestling figures do you have? I'm sure just tons by now.
I don't know. I lost count. Like, when the first one came out, it was super cool and special, so I have one of those. And then I have, like, the first deluxe figure. And then after that, I got no idea.
Awesome. Bobblehead?
Yes, I have a bobblehead. I have, like, one of the super, super huge, large, like, action figures.
And you have that thing I saw, the vinyl thing with the screwed up head where you're this weird like cartoon thing.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I got one of those, and then I got like the more statuesque looking one.
Dude, do they make them like they used to make the LJN ones, the big rubber ones? Like I had SD Jones and King Kong Bundy, and I'd like to put you against them, but I don't think they have you in that figure. They still make.
Well,
the
they're making like classic LJN guys, aren't they?
Yeah, they're making.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, like one in each series of the classic guys. They're doing an LJN style figure.
Cool.
And the newest one is, I believe, Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, I don't think I'm classic yet.
Yeah.
Damn it! We'll have to wait till next year. It'll be good.
I think they already have a Cena classic figure, so I mean, your time will come sooner than you think, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Probably the way they run through things nowadays. Yeah.
There you go.
Were you very excited about the bobblehead? Because I remember, concerned? Because I remember that used to be a point of discussion among you and Barbiehead, I believe. That
I just think, you know what? I just think I still get a trip out of how ridiculous that is. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that keeps me grounded. That like, if I see my face somewhere, like I'll be out in public, and I'll see my head somewhere, and it just still trips me out. That like, you know, I don't know, people all the time are like, "Oh, you're famous," and I'm like, "No, I'm not, I guess, you know, I'm not famous," but, you know, the reality is, like, I realize the power of television, and, like, yes, I'm in a business that might not be as popular as, you know, like, what Brad Pitt's doing, but, you know, I'm still out there, and I can walk into a Toys R Us and, like, see myself sitting on a rack, and it's still hilarious to me, and it just always reminds me of, like, where I came from, and, like, how absolutely crazy it was that, like, it was always a goal of mine to be in a video game, to have an action figure, and like these are all things that I did before I was 30. So, it's wild.
Have you played as yourself in the video game yet?
Have I what?
Played in the video game as yourself yet?
Well, I had to because I've done, like, the Superstar Challenge thing. I just recently did one overseas. I'm like, the only guy I could ever beat was Santino because I think he's worse at video games than I am. And the only video game I own and play is, like, Guitar Hero. So I'm not a video game kid, definitely not.
Now, I know that Naylor wanted to ask you about the Gathering because apparently there was some sort of reunion of the other Gathering members recently.
No way. Well, how could there be a reunion? There's only two of them that could, you know?
I don't know.
Julio and Raven got together?
Perhaps. I think Billy Firehawk was trying to do this a couple of years ago.
And he's dead, isn't he?
Yes.
He's dead, but I don't know. I think a couple of years ago he did try to do it. You might have been there. I don't know when this occurred, but someone passed.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, myself and Julio De Niro are still the cyberspace wrestling tag team champions of the world.
Nice, I agree. Guess Julio De Niro was recently in Shamokin, Pennsylvania, which is the home of yours truly. So I really can appreciate Julio De Niro. He ran a wrestling.
I recently saw Julio.
Yes.
When we were in the Gathering, he was affectionately known as Julio Schmurio, and I was he always called me Punkus McGillicuddy. I don't know why.
There you go.
And there may or may not have been nicknames lovingly given to us by the boss, Raven.
Good old Julio.
He's involved in roller derby now.
Ooh, Julio?
What?
Raven.
Oh, why?
You didn't know
that only women did roller derby.
No, he's been training to do roller derby. There are pictures of it. I'll send them to you later.
No, there's guys because Ralphie Valadares was like a 60-year-old ass man and he did it. So I'm sure Raven wants to replicate his career. So good for Raven, I guess. I don't know.
Well, definitely.
My sister.
You know what? Real quick, because I got to do another set here really quick. But I want to talk about Raven really quick since we're on here. Raven, I think has like this complete complex about me. Maybe not a complex. I'm sure he's not obsessed, but I haven't talked to him in years. And he seems to have this thing where I forget that he taught me a lot and he helped me out because I think he did. I think he had like an incredible, you know, mind for the business and he did teach me a lot at that stage of my career, but I was married to him for like a year and a half and anybody who knows Raven knows that you can get pretty sick of him in 6 months. You can get sick of anybody. I'm sure like Jimmy Rave was sick of me by like, you know, the end of like, you know, the second week where me and him were doing our feud, but Raven, if you ever listen to podcasts, and I'm sure you do because you probably have time on your hands, number one, I completely respect you and I love you for teaching me what you did, but my point of contention was he always said, oh, I took you from indie obscurity and I made you a superstar, and I will always truly believe that while you did teach me a lot, I had more to do with it than most because I wrestled. I wake up with night terrors about his comeback because I still can recant the same damn thing in my head, which isn't a bad thing. And I realize it probably sounds a little bit like I'm ungrateful, but I'm not. I valued my time working with Raven. We just had a personality clash. Let's just say that.
This is going to be a terrible segue that only you will know, at least before I do it, why I'm saying this, but have you learned as much from Tony Garea as you did from Raven?
Of course. And I do a mean Tony Garea for an impression, and I really don't know if it translates. Like, I don't know if I can do it over here, but last year at WrestleMania, myself and John Cena actually had the official Tony Garea off, where we both did impressions of Tony Garea, and it was judged by Tony Garea, and he decided that we were both rotten and nobody won. But I do a mean Tony Garea because I got a great story where I was fairly new with the company and I walked up to get a draw and he looked at me and he goes, I already gave you a goddamn draw. And I said, no, ha ha ha, give me $50. No, you don't get any money. I just gave you a goddamn draw. And, you know, ha ha ha, Tony, can I, you know, seriously, I gotta go do this, and I gotta go do this, and I gotta go take pictures. Can I just have my $50? I'm telling you, you don't get the goddamn draw. So I reached over and I tried to grab the clipboard, like, I've had enough of this, I'm just gonna scribble my name on here. and we proceed to have a tug of war. And he's getting, like, shoot hot at me. Like, you don't give him any goddamn money. You get your check in the mail like everybody else. And, like, he's freaking out. And then it dawns on me, we were in Detroit. I went, you think, hang on a minute. And I ran and I found Sterling James Keenan. And I brought him to Tony Garea. And I went, I'm not him. And he went, CM. And, you know, Tony,
wow.
I thought I gave you goddamn money already. I didn't, back in my day, we didn't have anybody that looked similar. You should tell him to scrub his tattoos off or something. Tell him to be a Samoan or something. I don't know.
Oh, God. Tony Garea. Tony Garea kicked me and my friend Lando out of Hershey Park Arena in 1995. Yeah. When there was the hog pen match and we didn't get to see it, he got
I
mad
believe
at
it. Do me a favor. I'm gonna do this set really quick. I want you to talk to a friend of mine. His name is Dr. Francois Kevorkian. Just 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Oh, Francois Kevorkian, famous mixing board.
This is me, Francois Kevorkian.
I think you killed my grandma.
No, that's a different Kevorkian on
other
side.
Unbelievable.
Hold on. Hey. Have you played Super Goldman Brothers yet?
No.
Well, it's a very good game.
I think it's the greatest game in the world. Am I getting in trouble for this?
No.
Huck says no. I'm just at Punk's house, and I'm just his doctor, Francois Kevorkian. What are we talking about?
Have you ever been to www.kids.com, Mr. Kevorkian?
No.
No?
No.
They have a lot of fun Hornswoggle-related activities.
Well, he's an active man.
He's also taller than Rob Naylor, but it's okay.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Oh, God, I'm jealous.
See, Franklin Swakabork is not a funny or witty man. I have nothing to say. But no one will even know who this is. I mean, no one will know who Francois Kevorkian is.
Not a clue.
Two people. I will. Dave Krazak will. I think we're the only people who actually know who he is.
Who's Dave Krazak?
I don't know who this Krazak is you speak of. Wasn't he at Memphis Wrestling or something?
I think
Wasn't he an announcer?
Yeah, I think they called him David the Truth.
Yes. So, alright, well, good talking to you guys.
Hey, nice talking to you, sir.
I wasn't even talking to you, so I gotta go back to my practice, or my malpractice, and, I'm out.
Good Lord. Dr.
Shalom.
Hey. How's it going?
Wow.
Lovely.
That's certainly different. I think we should just let people Google Francois Kevorkian as opposed to me explaining this. Or should
yeah,
I
it's probably the probably for the best.
You think you can Google Francois Kevorkian? You think that'll come up?
Oh, yeah. Very, yeah. He did a lot of stuff for Depeche Mode.
Okay,
I'm the only wrestling fan that would probably know this. Other than Prazak, because he explained to me how Francois Kevorkian became famous in Chicago wrestling circles. But,
yeah, I don't know about that one. Got a question for CM Punk. Your favorite?
Yeah, I'm here.
You've been in many six-man tag matches, so I'm going to give you a list of about 7 names, and I want you to tell me who your favorite tag team six-man partners were out of these names, okay?
Oh, my God. You don't even have to name. I already know who my favorite was.
Paulie Norvis.
It might shock me. I might change my mind because chances are I don't remember half the stuff that I've ever done better than you, at least.
Here we go. Paulie Norvis, Abdullah the Butcher, Mikey Batts, Carmine DiSpirito, Kevin Sullivan, or the Maximo Brothers.
Oh, my God. I mean, to me, the obvious answer was immediately my old tag partners, Kevin Sullivan and Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, because that was just – I was just a pig in shit. I was, like, the happiest little kid when that happened. But yeah, Paulie Norvis and Colt Cabana taking on a very young Joey Matthews and with Rick Blade.
Yes.
Oh, man.
My favorite.
And Praise that got a concussion, and Ripley smashed Pauly Normus' face.
Yes, the first of many faces that he would smash throughout his illustrious career.
Good time. So
I know who your favorite six-man tag team opponents would be. That would, of course, be Mike Quackenbush. Reckless Youth. And why am I forgetting the name of the third guy? What's his name? The other guy.
Don Montoya.
Yes, Don Montoya.
Yes.
What a guy.
Tom Carter.
Very much.
Yes, Chicky Love. We love him. So that you were in the main event of the first Chikara show. That's pretty crazy.
Yes.
Good old Allentown, Pennsylvania, I think it was. Those were the days.
In the back of what's the name of the store? Carson's Wrestling Room.
Carson's Wrestling Shop closed, CM Punk. I don't know if you remember it, but it closed.
Yes.
It shut down, man.
I do remember it. Now it's kind of sad that it closed.
Oh, I was horribly saddened by the whole thing. It made me and they were bringing in special guests. Gary Hart was there. All these people came there, and I missed out on them. But sure enough, it closed. So what am I gonna do? There's no more pro wrestling shops in the Rob Naylor land. So that sucks.
There was one pro wrestling store near me once called the Steel Cage, and it lasted for several months, and it basically consisted of about 5 t-shirts and a couple packages of action figures in this empty store space that was attached to some other store. And I was very sad that they never did anything more with it.
Brutal.
Well, that's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard market.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
CM Punk, I want to talk about your students. Guys like Evan Starsmore.
I just wanted to think about that. I have students. So weird. Okay, go ahead.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Davey Andrews, Evan Starsmore, a young man that you know, Matt Turner, recently came up to me at a wrestling show. These guys
are
going at it, pounding the pavements and getting to these shows. And I don't know, man. Did you have a favorite student when you were training them? Was there one that you just thought, wow, this guy's got some moxie. He might make it.
I can't say I really played favorites, you know, but like, I got along great with all of them, legitimately, you know. And when I was living in Philly, I lived near Davey Andrews. So me and him, every once in a while, would go to the gym together. And, like, I don't know what the hell happened to him, but, like...
Nobody does.
Yeah, like, but he just, like, legit reminded me of me because he was just crazy. It was just, like, you know, he wasn't really doing anything. He just wanted to wrestle. And that's, like, all he would do. He would just, you know, hey, you want to go wrestle? Yeah, let's go work out. Let's do this. He was always a super cool kid. He was into the same music I was, hardcore and all that. You can't mention one of my students without mentioning Shane Hagedorn.
There you go.
Rest in peace, Shane Hagedorn. I believe he recently is engaged or has already gotten married. So, sorry, buddy.
To Shane Hagedorn.
And I talk to Turner every once in a while via email. So.
Yes, and Shane Hagedorn now teams with your former rival Chris Hero now and then. So there you go. Amazing how things work out.
It's like my family tree.
There you go. And I once saw Davey Andrews threw a full jug, like a gallon of water, at someone's head. So he was kind of crazy like you are, because that man.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that with like steel chairs and like everything else.
You know, for several months, I thought that Davey Richards and Davey Andrews were the same.
No. They almost look alike. Yeah.
Was,
facially, at least. Yeah.
It's like before Davey Richards came into ROH, I'm reading, like, I'm just, you know, seeing occasional message board posts. I'm like, wow, Davey Richards is awesome. I'm thinking, oh, okay, I haven't been following ROH. Oh, I guess Davey Andrews got really good.
I like Davey Andrews. He was okay.
Yeah.
I liked him in Chikara. He did some good stuff there with Cheech and Cloudy and them guys. But okay, another question for CM Punk real quick.
Well, I got to ask you, though, that spun off of the previous question, though. Speaking of when you were living in Philly, what was it like to have Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brandy Mankiewicz as a roommate?
You know, I got to tell you, it was awesome because Brandy, it was like I was married to Brandy, but I didn't have to have sex with her.
Well, there you go.
She's very much a homebody, and she would cook, and she, you know, like, she cleaned the house, and she did all this stuff, and it was awesome. You know, and she's a good cook too. So
nice.
Did she ever talk about her fake uncle, Matt Brock? Did she ever talk about her fake uncle, Matt Brock? Because in Pro Wrestling Illustrated folklore, she was his niece. Matt Brock.
I'm not up to date on all the Pro Wrestling Illustrated dirt. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, wow. This was great. This may have even been before you started wrestling that they suddenly announced this new the first legitimate female writer as opposed to Liz Hunter, who I know Rob Naylor has many dear memories of.
Yeah, she was a guy, so that kind of messed my childhood up. But anyway, we'll go to a better subject. You've been involved with lots of wheelchair-bound personalities, CM Punk. One was Mr. Milo Beasley in your Reign of Terror in Florida, and the other has been Vicky Guerrero. Who do you think who is the better wheelchair-bound personality, in your opinion?
I got way too much love for Vicky to try to make her second best. So I think definitely Vicky. I mean, I think she, for a while there last year, and you know, I'm sure she will again, but she had such heat.
Yeah.
Her excuse me bit, you know, was just she said two words and the place was on a riot, you know. It's just awesome stuff. Milo Beasley was super fantastic though. And that name alone, like I named him Milo Beasley on a whim one day and it just stuck. And yeah, I remember doing those FIP shows, kids would be shocked and just livid that the cripple got out of the chair to interfere and stuff like that. It was, so when anytime you get like that kind of response from doing like an old school trick like that, it's awesome.
Nice.
I believe the originator of that would be Ron Wright in the Smoky Mountain, right?
That would be correct, I believe.
Is, by the way, if you've never seen it, if it's not on YouTube, maybe I'll put it there. The greatest interview in the history of the world is the one that Cornette would show on TV when he was bringing Ron Wright back for the Legend shows. It's where he'd call the announcer a nincompoop.
Interesting.
I don't recall.
Yeah, you'd love that. But
I was an ECW fan, not so much Smoky Mountain. I liked my high spots.
But then again, you liked Brian XL better than CM Punk years ago.
I did. I'll come out and admit this now. I liked Brian XL. I liked Red, and I liked Slim J more than Chris Hero, Colt Cabana, and CM Punk. Goddamn it, because they were my little short guys, and they jumped around and did flips. And I will admit this. They did moves, MOOVS, man, and I love them. And granted, we've seen where people have gone in this business and where people have fallen, but it's quite okay because I'm sure Brian XL is enjoying good hard times in some Puerto Rican prison, and Slim J is somewhere in Tennessee somewhere, and Amazing Red is on shaky knees. And well, God bless you guys. I hope you get back with it. But I didn't like the what I call the Midwest 3 of Punk, Hero, and Cabana until 2004. I don't know. I think I had like brain damage prior to that, but. That's very true.
Yeah, man, you like what you like.
There you go. They called me out on it. And I like Teddy Hart more than CM Punk, too, because I was like, CM Punk's a dick. Why'd he beat up my friend Teddy Hart? But we all know how that turned out. Good old Teddy. We love him.
Lovely.
At least one shoot interview DVD talks about how awesome you are, I believe, correct?
See, look at they patched things
great.
Up.
The last time we did Canada, I was moseying through the airport after being detained in immigration, like I always am when I go through Canada, because I'm apparently a criminal. And I was just walking through the airport, and I look up and I see the first thing I saw was Ridiculous Pants, and it could only be one person. And Teddy was flying in from Mexico, him and Jack Ward and AAA and stuff. And I had a nice little 8-minute conversation with him and stuff like that. He blessed me from God, and we went on our way.
There you go. Nice. Good to hear that Jack and Teddy Hart tearing stuff up down in Triple Play with Conan. Good for them. Yeah, so that's good to hear that the hatchet has been buried and not in Teddy's back. That's always good news to hear.
Yeah, I mean, should we get an official comment from you, though, on the fact that certain newsletter writers, including one that you do not have much affection for, have always claimed that you lost the fight?
It wasn't a fight, It was
two guys grabbed each other.
I have always maintained this is exactly what happened. I slapped him. We went to the ground. I cut my elbow. He pulled my hair and punched me in the back of the head. that's not a fight.
I think Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I think the best part about it was with Sabu like fumbling trying to break it up. Come on, guys, come on. Stop fighting.
That was almost my favorite part of the story, that for some reason I loved the sentence, they broke up the fight out of respect to Sabu being a veteran. And I know, I understand how it makes sense, but for some reason I found it hilarious at the time.
Only in wrestling, you know?
Exactly.
The ridiculous world.
The scarred-up guy who doesn't talk and often pretends he doesn't speak English to everyone is the voice of reason.
He was a mediator, yeah.
Good old Sabu. So yeah, I remember my favorite Punk memories from ROH after the Joe matches was probably the Summer of Punk, where you won the belt. And you were supposed to stay afterwards and give autographs to all your adoring fans like myself. And then you said, screw you guys, and you just left like a big jerk. And then like you spent the whole summer defending the belt. Was that pretty much the best way you think you could have went out of there before you made the big jump?
Absolutely. I think we were handed, like a golden egg. You know, in this day and age when everything's on the internet and, you know, there's quote-unquote wrestling journalists, that, gotcha. Will expose stuff. And it is a shame that a lot of the boys are stooges and, you know, it makes them feel better about themselves to report stuff. And, you know, it was just a boon to us that we had something that I knew nobody was going to find out about because I only really told one person. You know, when I knew I was going to sign, I went in and I talked to Gabe. And I was like, you know, he was just like, you're going to sign, aren't you? And I was like, well, yeah, but listen to me. Here's my plan. And I laid the whole thing out, like from me and Aries to me and Cabana, because the whole thing just came to me. And I laid it out, and of course Gabe, you know, changed some stuff, made some stuff better, and it was just that. It was just like nobody's going to know because it was just me and him who knew, like who I was working, like some, you know, date-to-date basis. Mm-hmm. And it was always, the plan was always to use Gibson because I refused to drop it to a teammate. It was, you know, I just think we it was something special because it's not some every day you get that, you know, you get to fool the fans, you get the, you know, the wrestling news sites and all that reported that I was gone. This is it, and we got to put one over on them. So I love doing that.
Yeah, and one match I want to point out to any of the listeners is CM Punk had a match in New York City at not the Manhattan Center, but the place on the New Yorker Hotel with Roderick Strong. If you want to see a textbook CM Punk heel mastery performance. Him and Roderick Strong had such an awesome match. Had everybody, including myself, in the palm of their hands. So just everyone check that one out if you can. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they still sell it. So yeah, check that out. Gabe's gone, but the tapes are still around. So check that out at wherever you have to check
that. That was actually one of my favorites too, you know, because it was, you know, like I said, everyone, without a doubt, 100% thought, you know, Roddy was taking it. So.
Yep.
Once you have that, you can play with people's emotions, you know, and to me, that's what I do best, you know?
Very
Is there
true.
Any point where you ever considered not going out the last night as the sort of tribute deal, or did you always figure that you'd, since the last show was in Chicago, you'd go out like that?
You know, I think maybe me and Gabe had an argument about this, like, me probably wanting to try to get away with seeing if I could pull it off, like turning the Chicago crowd against me, and Gabe absolutely saying there's absolutely no way. You know, you could kill a baby in the middle of the ring and, you know, rip up a picture of the Pope and, you know, do all these horrible things and the people will still cheer for you, and it's your last night, you got to go on a baby face. So, I would rather have been, you know, the big baby face than a heel with no heat anyway, so it worked out.
Nice.
Now, if you had killed a baby in the ring, would this have predated the Snitsky deal, or was that a few months later or a few months earlier?
It's a great question, you know, because it's something a lot of people don't realize. It's like I missed so much wrestling because I was in the thick of it myself, like constantly working. I don't remember. I missed Brock Lesnar's complete WWE tenure. I didn't really watch anything because I was, you know, I was running the Ring of Honor school and I was, you know, on the road all the time and, you know, I was doing my thing. So I don't remember when that went down. It had to have been 3 or 4 years ago. So
did you see Brock kick ass in the UFC recently?
I didn't see it. We were overseas and we were actually, I think we were on a bus at like 5 a.m. going to an airport to fly out of Edinburgh to come back home when Charlie Haas spoiled it for me. Hey, this is Brock won. And I was like, thanks, asshole. Thanks a lot. It's impossible to, you know, like everybody spoils everything for me, and I try to live in a spoiler-free world for stuff I actually want to watch. But people will ruin the movies for me, they'll ruin the fights, they'll ruin everything, so.
At least there's consistency there, so that's good. So yeah, some of my favorite WWF matches you've been in are the Johnny Nitro matches.
WWF, what's that?
Oh, I'm so sorry, WWE, I always do that, my bad. But yeah, the Johnny Nitro matches, are they some of your favorite ones you've had up there?
Yeah, definitely. I think it took a while for me and him to click, but once we did, like, I think we were off and running. You know, we had that title match for the ECW title when I won, yep. And that's still one of my favorites. That was, but it was one of those cases where it was like, they were trying, like, I remember our SummerSlam match was rotten because we had 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think sometimes I might be unfairly judged because I really don't. I'm not good at all at working 4 minute, 6 minute TV matches. I'll admit it. You know, it's hard for me. I thrive in an environment that where I can dictate a pace and I can tell more of a story. You know, and I'm obviously still learning. I'm getting better at it. I think hopefully, but I think when I'm given more time. I can always do better, and it was one of the cases where like they gave us time, and we had this amazingly hot crowd, and it was one of the moments where like, you know, it sounds corny, but I describe it as magical. You just go out there, and in the middle of the match, I was in the groove, and I felt it, and so did he, and it was just, it clicked.
Nice.
Do you think that if things were going differently, and that wasn't the night where you're going to win the belt, do you think there was something about that night that made you guys finally figure each other out as to how to really have a good match with each other? Or do you think it just happened to be the right time?
No, I think we got all our bad habits out early. You know, I mean, we had so many chances, you know, and it was always just rushed. I mean, the hardest thing to do out there, in my opinion, is slow down and take your time, you know, and it's hard to do that when they're like, okay, you got 8 minutes. And it's just like, oh man, you know, and I don't want to do 12 minutes of stuff in 8 minutes. But I also don't want to do, you know, like it's harder to take your time in 8 minutes because you just, I don't know if it's subconscious and you just kind of hurry in and, you know, because the worst thing you can do is go over on time and then you're, you know, it's like the kiss of death.
I really like the match you guys had in like April, I guess, where you hit the Jericho Spike Super Frankensteiner thing. Oh my God.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. Awesome. That's the kind of stuff that I love. When somebody pulls something off on TV that you may not have seen in a while, and that right there was a perfect example of that. Just
awesome. Well, me and him are always good for that, you know, like,
yep.
You know, I love working. I affectionately have nicknamed him Momo, and I love working Momo. He's an awesome dude, and he's, you know, he's very receptive to ideas, and he'll go out there and he'll, you know, what a freaky athlete that kid is, you know. I love wrestling him. Me and him had a big, you know, a big house show run too, and I remember me and him like absolutely tearing it down in Puerto Rico, just awesome stuff.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was the title switch match that I remember. I think I remember talking to Naylor and how much he was freaking out that. Morrison hit, I think, a split-legged sky twister press?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't think he's done before or since.
That's insane.
He's done it, you know, and I actually thought that was so pretty, I was mesmerized, I almost forgot the kick. He did it, and I was just like, wow, I'm a fan of pro wrestling. Oh, one, yeah, I gotta kick out.
Yeah, he saves his stuff too. Like, no doubt, much like on the indies, one of the problems is everybody got to bust out their crazy stuff all the time. But John Morrison just sprinkles that stuff when you don't least expect it and when it really counts. And he's awesome. I love The Miz too. So along with yourself,
no, I'm hoping I'm in this Intercontinental Title Tournament. I'm hoping I know like next Monday it's him versus Fit. And as much as I, you know, that's six of one, half dozen of the other for me. It's like, I either get the wrestle Fit or I get the wrestle Momo. It's like,
yeah,
yay, you know, yay for me. And either way, I'm going to have fun.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I'm hoping you win the tournament if just to, so you can get a longer match with Regal. Because that could be good stuff.
Yeah, Regal beat the shit out of you. Remember that match? Yeah, remember that match?
He always does. I'm him and Benoit always do a thing where they always had this friendly little contest to see who could bleed first. And so they'd always do the headbutts and stuff like that. And Regal never won. Benoit always made Regal bleed. And now it's the other way around with me and Regal. every time I wrestle him, I bleed.
Oh, no.
Sometimes profusely, you know, like I've got stitches in my head because of him from the King of the Ring final. And the last time me and him, I think, worked on Raw, he broke my nose.
Yeah, how many broken noses do you have now? Have you had?
Well, I only have one nose, but I've broken it many, many times.
I really can't talk today. How many?
That's okay.
So, okay, another comment.
Yeah.
Old school. Chucky Smooth. What are your thoughts on that guy?
Say that again, who?
Chucky Smooth.
Oh, Chucky. Yeah, Chucky's, Chucky, I think Chucky's still alive.
Yeah, right? I think so, too.
I think he is.
Okay, cool, yeah. Chuck Smooth was awesome. Chuck Smooth was like that, he was, well, you know, like me and Cabana were focused on, like, you know, tearing shit up and, you know, the wrestling and the groundwork and the moves and all that. Like, Chucky was always, like, all about getting heat. You know, Chucky was, like, that guy that realized that, like, okay, I'm not the best wrestler, but I'm going to wear this fur coat and hump your kid and say I'm Britney Spears' girlfriend, you know?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Wait, I have a sidebar for the record. Yeah? Chuck Smooth has been talked to recently, and he's 100% clean and sober.
Yeah, good for him.
Yay! Good
that
to hear.
Very good news.
He kicked the horn, Vic. He kicked it.
Horn, yeah.
Yeah, heroin.
Good to go.
Did he also kick horse?
Yes. And I think the last time I heard something about Chuck Smooth was this was still years ago, too. He was, like, working for Ian again, and he got on the mic and talked a bunch of shit about me. But knowing Chuck Smooth is probably just a kid. Get, like, some weird heat, unless he really does hate my guts for whatever reason. But, you know, I don't know.
Now, going back to what you said about Chucky Smooth, when did you start to go more in the direction of working on, I guess, you know, the intangibles as opposed to the mechanics of working a match?
Probably starting in 2004. Because I think definitely fracturing my skull in 02 had a direct effect on me, as well as working with Eddie as frequently as I got to, you know, and Eddie, you know, teaching me. And it's like one of those things that I knew, and it's not about the moves, you know, but it was just like still like in a different world. I was on the indies, and I thought, well, no, I got to do this stuff because that's what the people want to see. And, you know, and Eddie was just like, no, man. You know, you tell them what they want to see, you know. You tell the story. So it was just reassuring to hear from a guy like that who I still believe he's the best wrestler in the world. Mm-hmm. And I just think from then on, like, you know, I'd look at things a little bit differently. And instead of maybe doing something I normally would have done, I would just go, well, you know what, I'm not going to do it tonight, and I'm going to do this instead and see how it works. And then when I was absolutely mind-numbingly bored out of my mind with everything in, like, 2004, that's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to get new gear. I'm going to really, you know, kick ass in the gym, try to get abs, and I'm going to not give the WWE any kind of a reason to not hire me. And then that's when I spoke with the Jimmy Ray feud was all, you know, to me, it was all about, you know, booking and pacing and had nothing to do with moves. It was just trying to have a baby face and a heel and, you know, trying to really get the crowd to invest in the match. So I definitely say 2004, I definitely started to try to change.
On a related note, I sprayed myself in the eyes with Raid 2 weeks ago, and I thought of Prince Nana spraying you in the eyes.
Why did you do that?
Because there was a gnat in my apartment, and I went to get it, and I am not very coordinated, so I kind of missed it, and it sprayed myself in the face. It sucked, but I'm okay, though, for everyone that's worried. You could send cards and letters to Shimokin if you want. But another thing I was going to say is the time I thought you really jumped, made a big jump off was like 2003. It was you and Banna against Izzy and Dixie, the Carnage crew, and somebody else in Philadelphia. And you just went into this post-match promo, which I still think was like a step in your career where you just stepped over a line. I forget where it was. I think it was Philadelphia, though. And you just ripped into everybody. You ripped into that hat, that guy with the hat. Yes, it was awesome. Like, that to me was when the personality of CM Punk really came out, in ROH at least, because it was – glimmers of it was there, obviously, in IWA prior, but I didn't watch that much because I like the flippy guys.
Yeah, and you were, oh, yeah, so, And you were the promo was so good that Hack Guy never came back to ROH shows.
You're welcome.
There you go.
No, that was that you know that, and that's what I think pro wrestling's about is emotion. You know, that was legit was an angry kid. You know, and I'm very much still that angry kid, like waiting for my microphone. You know, and like, and yeah, I've had the mic in the WWE, and like, I've been handed, you know, scripted stuff, and some stuff I've just read verbatim, which I hate doing, and some stuff I've changed. You know, I'm still gauging my comfortable area with what I can and can't change, and I think a lot of it has to do with being a babyface right now. I still say that there's a heel run from me, obviously, that will. It's a bold statement, I know, but it will set the entire place on its ear. You know, like I do think there's room for Straight Edge is better than you, CM Punk, in the WWE. I just think I'm such a natural babyface as well that like there's still a ton of things to do before. You know, we have to go on that avenue. I mean, who knew that I was going to do the, hey, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't do drugs and hi, I'm a baby face in 2008, 2007. You know, it's weird, right?
Yeah, I was one of those people that from the beginning, I was like, man, I want Punk to be a bad guy. And I'd always bitch and moan. But you have gotten over so much that I was completely wrong because I'm one of these people that is reactionary. I want something immediately. I want like, oh, a bad guy run. But you've gotten so much mileage so far out of being a good guy that, you know, it's been really good to watch. And I'm now just patient. I'm patiently waiting to see what happens next. So
that's all I can do, you know. Like, and I just know, like, you know, no matter how discouraged I get because of whatever, you know, whatever the circumstances are, like, I try to tell myself, like, it'll, you know, it's going to happen. Because I still think I'm tons better as the bad guy. You know, I just think it's more natural. I think I think it's more honest, and I can just, you know, I just can spit some venom, and, you know, and it's just easier for me. It's very hard. It's very hard to debut, and you know, and get people to like you. And I'm, you know, like so far so good, I guess. You know.
Yep.
That leads me to two questions. Then the first: Do you think that working with Steamboat for an extended run in ROH brought you up to another level as a babyface? And the other being, do you think that you would have gotten off to as good a start in WWE if you didn't debut at the Manhattan Center?
I mean, definitely working with Steamboat was, you know, brought me to another level. I mean, I got the rub from Steamboat. I put him through a table, for Christ's sake. I'm still, to this day, the last guy to take his crossbody. You know, and if you think of all that stuff that Steamboat did with me, it's almost overlooked. Like, it's crazy, you know, like, I mean, we pretty much had a match, but it was, you know, we didn't, you know, I don't know what the legality of the whole thing was, but it was a confrontation.
There you go.
You know, but, you know, I cherish that so much. It's ridiculous. And, if I'm given lemonade, I turn that shit gold, no matter, and that's just in life. Like, I work with what I got, and no matter how many times I'm knocked down, I'll get back up and keep going. So I can't say that if I debuted anywhere else but the Hammerstein, like, it would have been different. It might have been harder, but I still would have made it work.
Well, yeah.
Hammerstein was just like, that was just a gift. That was just like, here, you know, like, all right. And, it, you know, it's one of those things, too, that, like, the haters who are like, you know, oh, this kid's going to fail. This kid's going to fall flat on his face. He's too indie. He does Japanese moves. He doesn't know how to work. He can't work WWE style, which to this day I still don't know what that is, because pro wrestling's pro wrestling, you know, and yeah, you know, there's Japanese style, and there's indie style, and there's WWE style, you know, but whatever. I'm a pro wrestler. I like to think I can, you know, just acclimate to whatever climate I'm in. But I think that was also a thing. It was like, I debuted, and I absolutely hit a home run, and they all went, well, let's see what happens when he wrestles in Omaha, Nebraska. You know, and like the same thing would happen in Omaha, Nebraska. And all right, well, let's see what happens when he's on a pay-per-view. And, you know, I debut on pay-per-view with tagging with the Hardys and DX, and 18,000 people are chanting my name. You know, it's one day after another. Okay, well, let's see what happens when he, you know, he does this. And I, you know, like I said, they give me lemons, and I turn that shit gold.
my favorite criticism from the period, from that period, I don't know, or if it's necessarily criticism, was people at live shows say that CM Punk doesn't have a lot of fans. He just has a small amount of fans who chant very loudly.
Isn't that awesome? Like, I don't know what kind of douchebag would say that, but, you know,
that would ban Rob Naylor from his song.
Yeah, what a guy. I love him. But
is this the same douchebag that very objectively comments on me based on who I haven't dated in the wrestling world?
Yeah, that's douchebag.
So. yeah, whatever, man. You know.
He don't know something from a hole in the ground, but yeah, whatever. We won't talk about him. We're giving him too much press anyway. But aside from that, we're going to talk about a match. My first match I ever saw you in, I believe, was yourself against that young fellow lifting with you against Chris Hero in a three-way match. It was just crazy. It was a triple German suplex, all this funny, wacky stuff.
Yeah, no one does that anymore, the three-way German suplex deal.
No, they don't. And they don't have Jim Fannin calling it. And I don't like Jim Fannin, but he was really good calling that match. I'm just going to say that. But yeah, that was a good match. Do you ever have memories of those old matches?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's a period, in my career that was just the three of us were breaking out, and you had three guys who were just would have done anything for pro wrestling, and you know, Cabana's driving down every Wednesday and Saturday to work for Ian, and it was just about going out there, and you know, it was just kind of like we were all finding ourselves and coming to the realization that like when we're out there, we can do whatever we want. And it was just like, well, let's try this and let's try that. And if it didn't work, you know, we wouldn't do it. If it worked, we expanded on it. And it was just all of us just, I think, learning and having fun at the same time and realizing that, like, we were getting okay at this. You know, it was just like, I remember being blown away when I hear stories about guys, like, how they could just go out there and wrestle. And I would just be like, my God, how do you not go out there with some kind of a plan? Like, I would shit my pants. And now I try to hide from people so I don't have to talk to them before I wrestle them, just so I can go out there and, like, you know, and just, like, kind of listen to the crowd and see what they want and try to give it to them.
I believe the first matches I saw of you were, and I picked some good ones because someone made some IWA tape that had back-to-back the gauntlet match you did with Hero, Cabana, and Ace that went 45 minutes. And then right after that was the 55-minute ladder match with Hero. Now, I remember reading, I forget if it was you or Hero talking about it, that going in, you did not plan on the ladder match going so long. So
No, absolutely not. Ian, the story is my music was playing, and Ian went, Punkster, how long are you going to go, Punkster? And I went, 20 minutes tops, and like ran out the door, you know? Whoops.
No, since you're also talking about as far as, you know, really getting to be able to call a match in the ring, given that, obviously, because of the timing issue, you didn't have as much laid out, was that around the beginning of when you started to grasp that?
Yeah, definitely. And like I said earlier, it's because, you know, like guys like Tracy Smothers, you know, who just, you know, this is how you do it. You know, you listen to me, kid, you know, and, you know, having enough faith in the guys I was wrestling. Hey, I'm going to say goodbye to Mick the Irish Assassin here really quick. Oh, you're doing abs. Oh, he's doing abs. So is Goldman, which is kind of a joke.
I just put this together in my head because I'm an idiot. Is that Mick Tierney?
No.
Oh, okay, it's a different... Okay,
different
wait.
Irish Mick. It's okay.
Mick the Irish Assassin was another Steel Domain guy.
Okay, so there were two Irish assassins named Mick.
Yes.
Okay, because if it was Mick Tierney, I would have begged you to put him on the phone and talk about battle arts.
Definitely a different Mick.
Oh, okay. Well, tell him that he's probably better than the other McTierney than the other Mick anyway.
He was. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about?
I don't know.
IWA, Chris Hero, Cole Cabana, Tracy Smothers helping you guys out.
It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, like you work a guy so much. I think it's important to work the same guy over and over again, especially when you're starting out, because you have a loose set of ideas. You know, like if I wrestle Cabana, I mean, Jesus Christ, me and Cabana, I don't know how many times we wrestled. And it was like, you know, you're in the match and you're like, hey, you know, do this, you know, do the arm drag spot. you know, and then we had so many different things that we talked about in so many different matches that you just basically get this group of ideas you can draw from, and different stuff works in front of different people at different times. So, yeah, it was one of those things that was just like, you know, I'm comfortable in the ring with Hiro. We've worked so many times, and it just that match evolved into, hey, let's do this because this is going to work. Yeah, okay, we're on the same page. Let's do it. Go.
Speaking of all that, do you remember when Chris Hero got knocked out by Too Cold Scorpio kicking him in the face in the classic eight-man with Cabana, you, Ace, Hero? I think Ian was even in it.
Superheroes.
Ian was in it, Suicide Kid, I think Danny and Ace, yeah.
Yeah, man. I watched that. He did not see that one coming. Talk about having to improvise. He was that young knocked out kid right there. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, Hero was covering someone. And to break up the pin, Scorpio basically gave him a shoot Randy Orton punt.
Yes, precisely.
And then Hero clumped over like he was unconscious, and someone else just came.
And he was still sort of on autopilot. And then I'm pretty sure that's when the match fell apart.
No, it was still okay, I think. But no, someone else just ran in the ring.
I remember someone telling me that. That the finish ended up being changed on the fly, something having to do with that. That was originally.
Well, I think Ace changed the finish on the fly because I think Ian wanted it to go 60-minute draw, and I think with a ridiculous you know, Ace was just like, fuck this, pin me, I'm like, you know. And it ended in like 55 minutes. Like Ace couldn't just put in the extra 5 minutes. Fuck this, I'm tired. It was probably legitimately 130 degrees in that fucking barn. So it was probably like, you know, 150 in the ring, and it was just, you know, okay, enough's enough. I'm done with this. Just beat us already. And then the big post-match promo where Ian decreed that he was going to bring the man they call Vader to tag with Scorpio against Danny and Ace, which of course was one of the things that never ever happened.
One of about a million that Ian has said on the mic, but it's quite okay. When you talk as much as he does after matches, you're bound to make 100,000 mistakes too.
You're talking about the guy who one time told me, and I can't, you know, I can't fault him. Maybe it was supposed to happen because, you know, this is the guy that I worked Eddie, you know, 3 or 4 times with Ian, so, you know, I can't fault him. But when he pulls me aside after a match in that Indianapolis building where I did the gauntlet and stuff with Hero, and he's like, kid, talk to Candido, this is what can happen. Guess who you're going to be working next month? And I was like, I don't know who. He's coming to America. He's doing this. I'm going to have you work Muda. And I, you know, I was just like, yeah, all right. I'll believe that. I'll believe that when he's pinning me. But okay, you know. It's the thought that counts. Thank you for thinking about me.
There you go. Good job, Ian.
Hey, you did get to beat, what's-his-face, Miyamoto.
Yeah.
Later on,
yeah.
I mean. Not for Ian, but... Oh, I just lost my train of thought. I was trying to remember if you ever wrestled Gavin Starr or not for some reason.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's funny. I just thought about that today. Me and Cabana were in the locker room, and Outcast Bombs Over Baghdad came on. And this is what me and Cabana do. We all have bizarre memories of, you know, different points in our life. And Bombs Over Baghdad always reminds us of the Globe in Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, where we would wrestle frequently, and that was Cabana's entrance music in the Globe, and I knocked out Gavin Starr with a crooked acai moonsault there once, and it was also the birth of the Kirby Puckett spot, where me and Cabana were working some kids that were, this is like me and Cabana thinking we were like wily veterans, and like this kid was like pretty disrespectful. So, like, when we got him in the ring, we tagged in and we went to shoot him off the ropes, and we're like, Kirby Puckett spot. And, like, the kid freaked out, and we just double elbowed him. Just to fuck with him.
Speaking of disrespectful, how soon after you gave him a swirly or whatever, did Jimmy Jacobs find out who Ricky Morton was?
I think immediately after, because I think Pierce probably smartened him up.
Oh, Jimmy.
How can you not know who Ricky Morton is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was like 12 years old, you know. Like,
yeah.
I'm the dickhead that was just like, you don't know who Ricky Morton is? Here's a toilet.
Yeah, I'm sure he knew who Marty Jannetty was. He was just one of them WWF kids, probably.
Probably.
I just realized you
WWE. I'm sorry.
Legit, you have both given Jimmy Jacobs a swirly and dunked him in a basketball hoop.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that can be said for any other two people in wrestling.
Good old Jimmy.
Awkward silence. So, anyway.
Yeah. So other wrestlers you might have wrestled. Low-key in ICW. The Norm Connors deal. That's that building with, like, an old man on the wall. Like, a photo of a creepy old man.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was like a Shriners building or something like that. Yeah, and it had, like, a creepy old guy on, like, a painting of him.
Yeah.
Is that the only match you ever had?
No, they had
me and him, I think the last time we worked was in, like, Jersey for Fat Frank or something like that.
Yep, for Fat Old Frank. I like the second match even better than the first one. The first one, though, Punk just, man, he kicked the heck out of you. He must have been angry that night.
He kicked me. I missed a springboard, and I think he tried to punish me. But then I think I slapped him really hard after that, and I was like, knock that shit off. I'm not deranged, you know?
Oh, poor deranged. I liked him more than you two in 2003, but yeah, Deranged
got
his ass.
That's cool.
Deranged got his ass.
What was the second match me and him had? What was that?
That was the Fat Frank match. You had it for
me. Was it really?
Yeah, and that was pretty good. But
I don't even really remember it.
Yeah, it didn't come out till a year later because of the crack staff of videographers that they have there.
Montrom?
Yeah, those guys. But,
I don't think they exist anymore.
Well, let's hope not. But, those guys for Jersey Steel Pro.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about Insane Clown Posse again, because as well-known as your hatred for them to various degrees, and especially the Juggalos, is, do you have any respect for their marketing abilities, though, the fact that they have been able to cultivate such a fan base as the Juggalos?
Dude, if you have to respect that, you know, because it's like the Grateful Dead of fucking rotten music, you know? It's everywhere, you know, like, and people, like, legit, people will live and die for those guys, and people get that wacky Hatchet Man tattoo, and, like, you know, I mean, I give them props, because they do the rap thing, they fucking wrestle all the time, they probably live real comfortable lives and stuff like that, you know, it's just good for them. That's, you know, I respect anybody who sets out in life to do what they want to do, you know, like, you pick something to do for a living and you do it, like I did. Like, there was never any second, like, I got nothing to fall back on. This is all I know. I'm not going to be an electrician. I'm not going to, they're like, this is it for me. Like, I wrestle. And those guys do what they do. So, you got to appreciate that ambition and that, like, they're entrepreneurs, you know?
Now, have you ever seen the Juggalo Baby Funeral, though?
No, I've never really seen any of that. Like all the JCW stuff where they do the commentary.
I'm not talking about JCW. I'm talking about Juggalos who, the story goes, or at least as it's told, a female Juggalo, a Juggalette, if you will, not knowing she was pregnant, did various illicit substances. The baby died. She blamed it on the doctors, and then they had a Juggalo themed baby funeral with the dead baby in clown makeup.
Wow.
Okay, that's a little. I gotta change the subject. I'm getting scared.
You can't blame the clowns. I blame the human race for that shit.
Yeah,
you know, because
that's ridiculous.
Every single culture does that weird shit. I'm sure there's been weird hippie funerals and, you know, weird emo goth funerals and all kinds of creepy shit. That's just how stupid people are.
Hey, Punk, guess who's in JCW now? Tracy Smothers, and he's getting so much heat, it's unbelievable. You would be highly entertained. It's funny,
he's, you know, he watch out, he takes the jacket off, the divorce rate's going to go sky high.
He threw a metal garbage can full of tools at the fans. It was unbelievable.
I love him.
I do too. He is great.
I want to ask something that, if you want to, you can relate more directly to your career, but I'll ask you two parts. Who is relating back to the last show I did with Naylor? Who is your favorite Polynesian Pacific Islander wrestler as a fan and as to work with, not counting Joe?
To work with, have I worked with a whole bunch besides Joe?
Have you? You haven't worked with Manu? I guess you have.
Maybe that guy in 01, that guy that teamed with Joe. That guy in 01, what's his name? Yeah,
King Dabadaba?
Adamo or whatever. I don't know what the
name
is.
Adamo, yes.
I'm trying. Obviously, I mean, I just did a house show loop in Europe. I was working Manu and Cody like every other night, and I was doing main events with Batista, Jericho, and Orton. But as far as my favorite goes, I'm eternally devoted to Haku. Just because, you know, like he's just, you know, Tongue and Death Grip and, you know, crazy Afro Meng with the wacky pants and, you know, like, and on top of that, like he's one of the guys, like based, you know, like through my friendship with Harley, I know him better than I know like a couple of other guys. Pops has always like helped me out like tremendously, you know, like he like, you know, he's one of those guys who like opened his home to me and Samu, I've never worked with them, you know, they're just good people, you know, so I guess, you know, I guess Manu.
There you go.
I got a rotten track record of working Samoans, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess you don't have as many nowadays, which is too bad.
Right, right.
But do you prefer Ming or Haku?
Man. I think Ming, because of, I think he was bigger and he was more surly when he was Ming. And
yes, I'm hungry too.
And I think and Haku too was Haku was definitely my youth, and Ming was more my adult wrestling life. And I think it was like nostalgia, like, oh dude, that's Haku, let's check this guy out. And like, you know, the Tongue and Death Grip is fucking awesome.
Have you ever seen him beat anybody up in person?
No, but I have rode around a Walmart at 1 a.m. with him on a motorized cart.
That's probably better.
There you go.
No, I'd rather see him beat somebody's ass.
How about the Barbarian? Did you meet him?
No, I haven't, but I've heard frightening stories about his wife.
Yeah, she's a brute, supposedly. Allegedly. But yeah, I like when Tracy Smothers talks about how the Barbarian destroyed a Pac-Man machine. That's always a good story.
Yeah,
he obliterated it.
Two quarters. It ate two quarters.
God. So yeah, I like Tama from the old Islander tag team. He kind of wasn't sticking around too long, though, but I liked Haku's part.
I like Tama, and we talked about this, because he was not at all the stereotypical Samoan wrestler.
No, he had an air of arrogance about him. I liked his arrogance when he turned bad. I liked him.
Yeah, that's what Manu should be, because if they got Umaga doing the traditional wild man, then Manu should be like doing, you know, should just act like a dickhead and, you know, maybe, I'm trying to figure out if I should say what I'm going to say.
No, don't say what you're going to say. Be nice.
Okay,
I think I ran through my questions.
I remember one you wanted to ask.
Oh, what would that be?
About, you wanted to ask about one diehard Dustin Lee.
Oh, no. Yeah, what's this guy all about? He's trashing you online. Is he a hater?
Is he really?
Yeah,
he's trashing you and Chris Hero. He's saying mean things.
Awesome.
Would you like to rebut? Awesome. There you go. That's all we need to say. We've probably given him too much publicity already. Yeah, I don't like
him. The only thing I remember about that kid was he was trying to train the wrestler, and he gave the wrestling world Nadia Nice. Like, he was dumb enough to bring his girlfriend in the locker room, you know?
Especially considering her build.
I think we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, I think we all do. We'll close the book on that one. Sorry, Dustin Lee. It'll be okay.
Whatever happened to her? Because, I mean, she did stick around a little bit, because she was going to do the Farley Brothers Glow knockoff thing called Crush, I remember.
Not a clue.
I remember she showed up after disappearing from IWA there, and then she disappeared. Do you have any idea of the whereabouts of One Naughty and Ice?
No. Shortly after I debuted on television, I got a very random phone call from her, and I haven't heard from her since. And it was, hey, we should, you know, get together and hang out. And I was like, yeah, because I'm on TV now. Great. And, you know.
Like, okay, bye.
Nothing ever came of that, no.
That's too bad. Oh, well.
She said. I'm terrible.
So anyway, yeah, well, I think I got to get going.
I believe I do as well.
But
so,
thank you so much, CM Punk, for talking to us. I feel
perfect.
No worries, man. I hope it was enlightening. I hope you guys had fun.
Yeah, I did. I hope we can do this again. Perhaps we can speak to Francois Kevorky again as well.
Oh, I can get it done.
Oh, that awesome, man. Good. Thank
maybe,
you so much.
Maybe.
Maybe, that's right.
Maybe, yes. Francois Kevorky, everyone's favorite Jewish Frenchman. Okay. Yes, another awkward silence there, because I'm so good at this. Anyway, everyone, check out CM Punk, the current one half of the World Tag Team Champions, with one Kofi Kingston, on every week on Monday Night Raw. Check on, as well as at WWE.com. Buy his stuff at WWEShop.com to help pad his wallet. Just check out WWEKids.com, because I believe he is currently arguing with Hornswoggle over each other's fart odor there.
Yeah, of course, you know, only the big-time stuff for me.
Yeah, fine reading for anyone who has not seen that. It's the internet storyline over who has smellier fart.
I know what I'm getting my nieces for Christmas now. Thank you, what? WWE Kids. I'm getting them that book. I'm sure they'll enjoy it.
Oh, they have a WWE Kids book?
That's what I thought you were saying. I'm sorry.
It's a magazine. It's a magazine.
I'll buy the magazine then. It'll be okay.
They got a subscription to WWE Kids Magazine, a very fine publication. And just CM Punk. Also will be, I guess, at WWE Armageddon next month, which is on some date I have not looked up. Okay, so anyway, take care. Thank you very much to CM Punk, who, by the way, I'm sure is very happy that his real name is listed in the trademark registration for him. His full real name, including his middle name, which I was not aware of until today.
Yeah. So,
thank you, everybody, and hope to see you again soon. Happy Thanksgiving. And if I don't do another show before then, which is highly likely, have a lovely Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, and all that good stuff.
And support indie wrestling. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.